This schmooze is really just one schmooze. I put a couple of marmakombos in here for the koach hatzir, but it's, unless I read it wrong, the Aruch Chaim and the Ramban and the Sforno are all saying the same pshat. So if there's a machlokas, so okay, you'll shlug me up on one, I'll say the schmooze from the others. It's not, I wouldn't mind hearing if you have a different pshat in one of them, but I originally just said the shmooze in the Ramban. Then I found the Sforno says the same thing. Then I saw the Aruch Chaim, I think, says the same thing. Then I was thinking, if everyone's saying the same thing, there's no chiddush. What's the shmooze? I decided to say the shmooze anyway. And the Koach Hatzir from the Das Sakenim and the Rambam. Okay, so it's a relatively short shmooze. But you don't want to get lost in the story. So let's start with the story that this Ish Mitzri, the one that Moshe killed, so you have to know Shmos. So Moshe killed this Mitzri. This Mitzri was Ma'anes, this Jewish girl, who evidently wasn't, according to some of the Farshim, wasn't totally innocent because she was a Dabranis. She used to say Shalom, that's why she was called Shlomis. She used to say hello, and the Mela that caught the attention of this Mitzri, so he was Ma'anis her, and this was the child, this Ben Isha Yisraelis, the son of this woman and this Ish Mitzri, who Moshe already killed, who was Megayer. And there's a whole shaila of why he needed Geiris, because the mother was Jewish, was before Matan Torah, or whatever, the whole hack. And then there was some dispute, because this boy went to claim his, according to one of the Mefarshim, he went to claim his Nachla, his inheritance with Shevet Dun, whose mother was from Shevet Dun. So he came to the camps to get a chelik, and they told him to get lost. You're not entitled to it. Your father's not from Shevet Dun. He says, my father's a Mitzri, but my mother's Yisraelis. They probably gave him a whole pilpashir that, you know, legabe yadus, that goes after the mother, but legabe nachla goes after the father, and you're a Mitzri. And I, you know. So he got all upset, evidently, and he was Vayikov ben Isha Yisrael says Hashem, and he invoked the Shem Hashem, and he cursed Hashem. They brought him to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayani Chuhu Bamishmar, and they put him in jail. Lifrosh Lehem Al Pi Hashem. They put him in jail. Reshiva has whole beautiful shmuz, which is totally parenthetical. Reshiva has a whole shmooze, they put him in jail. They didn't put him together with the Mekoshesh Eitzim, who was Mechal Shabbos, who was Chayav Misa. Why didn't they put him together with him? Because they weren't sure yet if he's Chayav Misa. We're going to get to that when it's here. Wow, why should we care that he'll feel, if he's together with someone who's on death row, he's going to have tzar. We don't have Tsar. Why? You have to care about Tsar for someone who's Mekal Hashem. Why should we care about such a Grusha? Who cares? So you see that we have to care even about a Russia. That was Rashi Vishmuz. Okay, so that's the story. Okay, so let's start with the Ramban. I'm just doing it in the order that I learned it. V'nei Yisrael Asu Kashativa Hashem Es Moshe. So it says that the end of the Parsha, I read you from the beginning of the Parsha, they brought the Mekalel outside the Machana and they stoned him. And the Pasuk and the Parsha ends off, Uvnei Yisrael Asu Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Kaddish. So the Ramban says, V'anochem be'enai b'kan, my pshat, he just finished a different pshat, B'pneisha parat b'tchila haskila v'achin chozav rama b'nei Yisrael Asu. First it says that they gave him skila, and then it says that Bnei Yisrael did what Hashem commanded Moshe to tell them to do. That sounds a little bit redundant. It says they gave him skila, which is what Moshe instructed them to do. And then it said they did what Moshe told them to do. It's redundant. Repetitive. No need. So, and for the Ramban, Kitama Kosov, the reason why the Torah had to write that they did what Hashem told Moshe to do, the reason for that was Lomar Kikasha Dibra Moshe Bnei Yisrael Hotzi Miyadis Amakav Rag Moso. When Moshe told Bnei Yisrael, take him out and kill him, but also came called Bnei Yisrael Lishmer Velasos Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, and Bnei Yisrael Taka did take him out and did whatever Hashem told Moshe to do. But they didn't do it because of their hatred for this Ben Mitzri that fought with the Israeli over the Nachla, or I guess the other Mefarshim. Elivar ha-pogum bitocham, but rather to uproot this pogum from their midst. That's why they did it. They did it to uproot the pogum, which I guess was the intent of the Tzivoy, and not because they were so angry at him. And if you look at the Sephorno, Uvnei Yisrael Osu Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, Shelo Ragmuhu Bnei Sina, they didn't kill him because of the hatred al Shehaya Ger v'shehis Hagra Be'ezrach, because he was a convert. Avol Osu Levilti Sur Min HaMitzvah, but they did it because he turned away from the mitzvah. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. I don't know. And the Archaim, I think that means the same thing. I wasn't 100% sure. Kosha, the Archaim says, Ma mokum lomar uvnei Yisrael osu. What do you have to say this for? Acha shomar vayotzu yis makal of Yergumos oven. After they already, the Pasuk already testifies they took him out and stoned him. What are you saying right after that? And they did what Hashem told Moshe to tell him to do. That's what he told him to do. Kill him. Hareini roesh osu es asher tziva Hashem. We see that they did what Hashem said. V'yesh lomar litzad shehoya hadavrei de meriva machlokis shehoisa ben Yisrael ovein ben Yisraelis, because there was this whole machlokis between this ish ben Yisraelis and the Yisraelim. There was a whole fight over the territory. Yesh makom lomar, there's a possibly you could say she'asu bo mishpat kosov, that they fulfilled the stated justice le'emtsos gam kain tina shebelev for the purpose of the tainas that they had in their heart on him. That's what I think that means, but I'm not sure. Leze amar asu kasha tziv Hashem pirish letzad mitzvah Hashem hushasu. They did it because of the mitzvah Hashem and not because of any other reason, any other sinner that may have emerge and evolve through fighting with this Ben Yisraelis. So, just a few tzirim. First, we don't have to go through the whole Dasakenim, but you see from the Dasakenim that the reason why they didn't put him together with the Mekosha Sheitzim, because the Mekosha Sheitzim was Chayav Misa, and this guy, they weren't sure he'd be Chayav Misa. So they didn't want to cause him tsar. That was the Rashi V'Shmuz. But the Dasakenim says, okay, they didn't want to cause him tsar, that he didn't deserve that if he wasn't going to be Chayav Misa. But why wouldn't he be Chayav Misa? The Das Kedem says he wouldn't be Chayav Misa because with Misa comes a Kapara. And he was such a Rasha by invoking the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMeforish, that he didn't earn the right to have a Kapara. That's why they didn't want to kill him. So here you have this Rasha Marusha who clearly is so bad that he's not even Roy for Misa. Like, snapshot, like, if he's not so bad that he's Chayav Misa, so you don't want to put a guy who got jaywalking together with death row people, because he'll feel that he's worse than he is. You jaywalk is one thing, but why should be with death row? That's how I always thought I understood the Rashiva shmooze. You don't want to put a guy like that, even though he's a bad news guy, but you have to care about him too. But this, with this Das Akedim, it's not my shmooze. It could be this also the Rashiva shmooze. But he wasn't even chayav. The reason why he wasn't chayav misa is not because he was jaywalking. It was considered jaywalking. He was much worse than the Mekosha Sheitzim. Mekosha Sheitzim at least had the dignity of getting a misa, so he'll get a kapara. The reason why they didn't want to give misa because then he'll get a kapara. They didn't want to give him a kapara. You're not going to get misa for that. So he's such a Rasha, this guy. And yet here these Dayanim were choshed on not killing him for his rishus because he was arguing with us about our nachla. You hear what's going on? Here we're not talking about a rogue Bezdin over here, a kangaroo court. We're talking about a Klai Yisrael, a Sanhedrin. These are the best. You know, the Shoftim v'Shotrim, the Pasuk says, Titin l'cha b'chol sharecha. The Medrash learns out that the Shofet has to be Rav Moshe Feinstein, the greatest Gedolim. But the Shotrim and Klai Yisrael also have to be the Rav Moshe Feinsteins of the Dor. So the people who were administering the Misa were Rav Moshe Feinsteins, were the great Gedolim of the times. These were the people who were involved with the Chiyuv Misa. So, what are you saying? That the Pasuk had to tell us that the reason why they gave the kavana they had for giving him the Misa was not because they hated him because he was trying to take another chelik from them. It's like Lahavdil, they always vote. I remember every year the players who get traded, you know, if you win the World Series, you get a portion, you get a chelik, a World Series dividend from all the revenue. What happens if somebody was traded? What happens if somebody came half the season? They're entitled, the team gets to vote. They vote whether he gets a chelik or not. So that's going to trump this rishus, this gedolim here. And because this fellow, whatever, was tiny, he didn't even take it. He only was claiming it. I don't know all the halachas, but he wasn't entitled to Mitzri. Mitzri don't have any nachla. He was a Jew. So what was so terrible that he asked for a chelik? Even if he was wrong, he asked for it. Let's say he got to hire a lawyer and took him to court for it. So here you have two choices. A guy who's such a Rasha Marusha, who's so bad he's not even Chayv Misa. That sounds pretty bad. Now, on the other hand, he took us to court. He wanted to, it was a class action. He wanted to get a portion. Not even from me, the whole Sheva Dan. I assume that by now, we're in the Midbar. There's lots of Dan. There's not one Dan. There's the whole Sheva Dan. So they're going to have tainas, and they're not going to kill him they're going to kill him because for that reason, not because he's a Rasha Marusha. You're the Dayan. My gosh. You're a Moshe Feinstein. And you're going to be swayed by that more than this. You're going to be so distorted. You're going to distort your whole kavana. I mean, let's face it. If they would take a guy like this and kill him because they don't like his attitude, that's ritzicha. It's murder. He's not chayav misa for that. So he's going to go ahead and kill him for that. That's ritzicha. You can't do that. He's chayav misa for what he did. So uviyarta harami kerbecha. That's why he's chayav misa. So you can go ahead and kill him for that reason. That's mamash ritzicha. That's what you choshed, that they kill him for chayav misa. And it sounds like it would be very treifa cheshbon. The Torah has to write that they did it for this reason. It's crazy. That's what they would think. Wow, you see the koach of a negiah. He's taking my land. It's probably on the subconscious. Of course, we're talking about these great tzaddikim. They weren't consciously doing it for that, but in the subconscious, that's why they were doing it. That's the negiya. And now this Rambam, I was debating whether I should put it on in such a weird way. I already scotch taped this, but I put it sideways, I'm sorry. So the Rambam says, just at the hair, like, if you think that this was a rogue, in case anyone's going to tell me that it wasn't really a real Bezdin. Ein Bezdin Yotzen Acher Hanerag. Bezdin's not allowed to leave after they kill someone. V'chol Bezdin Shenerag Nefesh Asurin Lechol Bos Hayom. They have to fast. They have to fast the rest of the day. Hareze B'chol Losoch Lo Adam. There's a pasuk that says Losoch Lo Adam. So if you kill someone, Bezdin has sentenced someone to Misa, they have to fast the rest of the day. So these people are already like in, you know, in the base Musar. They're thinking through what they're doing. It's a very, very serious act before they know that. And after we stone him, we're going to have to sit here in solitude and sequestered to do tshuva and to realize the beauty of the mitzvahs, that this person didn't keep the mitzvahs, we Nebuch had to kill him. And that's the routine, that's the protocol. You're really worried that they're going to do it because he was trying to swindle a piece of land off me. And I also dehared that, you know, the Mishnah Makkah says that a bezin that kills once in 70 years is a, according to one sheet, is bezin chovlanus, is a murderous bezin once in 70 years. So I assume these gedolim learned the Mishnah. So if they're killing this guy, they're probably like shaking. Hey, we're going to be called the bezin chovlanus. You know, like, so I'm sure there are sitting Shivanakiyim just to make sure we have it right. And we're so concerned that maybe the Negiya that they was trying to take something from us. We have to think about the Shmuz. What about the other Mefarshim that learned that that wasn't the reason? There was other reason why they were, okay, I have to think about that. At least according to this, assuming that everyone's on the same, all shittas hold of each other, is a very amazing chiddush over here. It comes out that just this negiya on the subconscious level can mamash turn upside down the greatest tzaddikim and gedolim who are administering this tzivoy Hashem, which is only administered under the most careful circumstances, with fasting, with to someone who's such a rasha merusha, who's not even Roy necessarily. What we thought maybe wasn't even Roy for me, so that's how bad he was in the Havamina. And that you're going to be classified now as a Bezdin Chavlanis, so you're sure, you think it through. Yeah, he's Chayv Misa. Why? Well, maybe because he will try to get property out of me. But on the subconscious level, that was a Havamina that could have been. Comes on the pasuk, teach you, wow, Gevaldik, they got past it. That's considered praiseworthy even for these tzaddikim. So I was thinking, like, wow, look at the difference between just having the right kavana in something. You can have the kavana l'shem shemaim, you can have kavana for total gashmius, which totally off, you know. Just in Yonah Diyoma, so someone's going to come to visit the yeshiva, and Rabbi Kier is going to ask, would you be able to, you know, could I put him in your room? And here you have the opportunity, like Rabbi Luban said today, Ruchnius, you can be Mekayim Harbatzas Torah in Miami. The reason why he left Eretz Yisrael to come to Miami is because of this guy who's going to build up the whole Beis Medrash and learn. And you're going to end up doing it because he's a good guy, maybe I can ask him to learn with me, and then he'll know me already, I get a chavrusa, and I'll you know, I could be roommates with him or whatever. You know, you have the opportunity for the greatest ruchnius, the kamamish. And I'm not even talking about on the conscious level, is on the subconscious level, of course, on the subconscious level. So it's not easy to be in control of our negius. It's very difficult to be in control of our negius. So halavai, at least we should do it on the conscious level. At least consciously, we should try and say, I'm doing this for the, you know, for lishma. I want to do it for the right reason. I want to learn for the right reason. I want to, you know, do the mitzvahs for the right reason. I'm not doing it for the wrong reasons. Of course, there are always the negiah reasons. Okay, can't always, we learn musa to make sure that as much as we can to try and bring out the subconscious to the conscious so we could be familiar with what we are doing. We're learning for the right, a person theoretically could be learning for the wrong reason. There are stories in Europe, people were learning tzos on Shabbos, smoking a cigarette. You know, something's wrong with that picture, I presume. How could something like that happen? Okay, because you could be doing a lot of things for the wrong reason until eventually it exposes itself, which is what normally happens. So we want to try our best to be, at least on the conscious level, we should try and do things for the right reason. You know, the famous Maisa with the altar Slabodka, that he was asked to speak somewhere, and then he turned down the invitation, and which was unusual for him. Why did he accept the invitation? Why did he turn down the invitation? So eventually what came out, when they asked the altar, he said, he eventually did speak there, and he said that when they called me to speak, I answered yes right away, but then after thinking about it for a week, I realized that the reason why I said yes, because there was a very fancy cane store. You know, he had a cane. And there weren't too many stores that sold them, and there was a fancy cane near the place where he was asked to speak. And he realized after a while that his negiah for agreeing so quickly is because he'll be able to come into that store and get a fancy cane with a nice silver top. I don't know. And that's why when he realized that was the reason why he agreed to speak, so he canceled the speech. And then later on, you know, when he was sure he was doing it for the right reason, then he agreed to speak there. That's the altar. Okay, the altar was examining all of his motives. Okay, alavai, we should be able to examine our subconscious motivations. I think for the purpose of the shmuz, we should recognize that there are subconscious motivations. We should learn musar and try our best to do it. And minimally, on the conscious level, we should say, okay, here I have an opportunity. I want to do this for the right reason. We could be in control of ourselves on the conscious level. That's much easier. So we should try and use the opportunities that we have to mitzvahs l'shem shamayim.